Good morning. In the will of the Lord, Judy and I are going to We're going to go back with Johnny and April on the 15th and be there for a couple of weeks. And then, as in, again, in the will of the Lord, I don't think we're going to meet in the air, but Dave Vicente and Joe Melsetic are going to fly over and spend a week, right, Dave? With John and April too, helping them. They'll have plenty of work to get done there. So we're not going there to work. We're going there to hang out with grandkids because we haven't had quite enough of them yet. All right. So, but anyway, pray for that trip over. And I think that as people go, and if you get the opportunity, it probably wouldn't be your favorite vacation to go to Niger, although what kind of animals could you take them to see?
Giraffes.
We did see a few, didn't we? When we went to Doso. Yep. But there are some cool things. We went on a what Johnny described to us as a really nice boat for a cruise on the river. And so we're thinking like New York dinner cruise. We got there and we were about 4 inches out of the water, wouldn't you say, on the side. It was a three-person, there was a crew of three people. One drove the outboard on the back. One person watched for hippopotamuses. And the third person spent the entire time bailing water out of the boat. So we were really appreciative of Johnny taking us on that. And then we got to see the hippos, which are really, really scary and apparently very fast. And occasionally the outboard would give out, and so they would have a little conference. Not the guy bailing. He would keep bailing. But the other two would try to figure out how to get this little Evan Rude outboard going. Anyway, men of God seriously grasp, we said last week, they seriously grasp and then they deliberately show the grace of God. That was the message last week. That was 2 Samuel chapter 9 was with this fellow Mephibosheth who David ultimately invited to come. It was Saul's grandson, Jonathan's kid. Invited him, said, "Look, you're gonna eat here for the rest of your life." A demonstration of the grace of God, a demonstration of grace. This week we're going to look at the chapters kind of surrounding that. Chapters 8 and 10, we'll take a quick look. 2 Samuel chapters 8 and 10, we're going to see that men of God understand, and then, that was last for today, men of God understand the expectations of blessing. What do you mean expectations of blessing? I thought that God just kind of blessed us. And so I'm laying around and God throws this blessing out and really the response to that is, thank you, God, now let me enjoy it. That's what a blessing is. When you look at blessings in the scripture, that's not what blessings are. Oh, they are wonderful things to enjoy. They are tremendous things to be a part of. And when we're blessed of God, it's an almost unbelievable experience. Psalm 67, don't turn there, but Psalm 67, to me, captures the idea of blessing. Back when Erin was on the mission field a number of years ago, she came home and had to speak at a conference somewhere, a women's conference out in Pennsylvania. And she went to this psalm, Psalm 67, which says, God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. This is this crying out for blessing. And you see this throughout the psalms. But here the psalmist says, be merciful to us and bless us and have your face shine upon us. And then he says in verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. That's a prayer. He's saying, let the peoples of the earth praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. If you caught that in the reading. But the psalmist prays for God's blessing. And that prayer for God's blessing is not that we could just enjoy God's blessing. That prayer for blessing is very appropriate for this morning. Because that prayer for blessing says, God, bless us that we could go to the nations with the gospel. God doesn't bless us to spoil us and make us fat. God blesses us so that we would take on the responsibility of sharing Christ with the nations. Psalm 67. So there is an expectation that comes with blessing. We saw that expectation thing beginning to play out last week when David showed grace to Mephibosheth. That was in chapter 9. You know, blessing others is an expectation of being blessed. Being blessed doesn't end with us thanking God for the blessing. No. That blessing goes on with the expectation. And in last week's case, it was the expectation of showing grace to a best friend's son. The expectation of blessing. But you know, it's pretty easy to minister grace and comfort when we've been shown grace and are comforted. I don't know how it works for you, but I'd love to be generous with other people's money. I can be quite generous with other people's money. My previous job, I was able to spend money. I could spend money on some pretty stupid things. I remember going out to dinner with some of the brass from the company. And I sat there and ate. They talked about stupid things, pretending that it was important, but it wasn't. And we had a very nice night out, and the bill came. Now, in addition to eating, there was some alcohol that was consumed by these fellows as well. But the bill at the end of this evening, there was a lot of people, it was $1,400 for a meal, man. It's more than my drive up at McDonald's when I go. But it was, Bob, would you get this? Sure. Now, if it was my own nickel, I would have said, are you crazy? No, I won't get this, but it wasn't my money. So before I paid for it, does anybody want anything else? I mean, you know, as long as we're paying here, generous with someone else's money. When you think of it. That's what David was with Mephibosheth. David didn't pay for one of those meals. But he was generous. He showed grace. But there's a difficult side to being blessed of God. David lived the life of a warrior. Blessing for David as a warrior meant winning the battles, right? That's what he did. He did this warrior thing really well, and he did a lot of his warrior stuff at the direct command of God. God would say, go up, I'm going to give you victory. So David would go into battle. God would say, don't go up, go do this other thing. Oftentimes he went apart from the direct revelation of God, but in the will of God, and he would plan these attacks. The blessing was to win. But David was never transported from the command to go to the result of winning. That blessing required that he go through the battle and ultimately win. So it's one thing to invite someone in for dinner, especially if you're inviting them into dinner on someone else's nickel. That's easy to be gracious. That's easy to thank God for the blessing and all. Let me share this blessing. But sometimes the blessing requires the difficulty of battle. Oh, the blessing is a blessing. But it's not just handed out. It's not even earned. Of course it's not earned. But it's a gift of God that comes with a struggle. It's a gift of God that comes with some expectations. It's a gift of God. But it comes with expectations. Chapters 8 and 10, we're going to see how blessings bring some work to David. Since becoming king and for the battles that were recorded in Samuel prior to David becoming king, David hasn't lost a battle. He's never lost. What a blessing. And while you and I would maybe attribute that record to David's skill, David would attribute that record of victory to not to his skill, but to his God. He would say he was blessed of God, and he says that over and over again in the Psalms. Men of God understand, though, that responsibilities come with blessing. With David's treatment of Mephibosheth last week, we saw that blessings assume that those who are blessed grasp and deliberately show grace. But with David's post-coronation battle record, we see that blessings assume that those who are blessed will protect and provide for those who are under their care. Thought about this with what we just had with Johnny and April. Didn't think about this before. I should have, I guess, but we're sending them out and praying for God's blessing. As we pray for that blessing, and if they are blessed, we are blessed. And if we are blessed, the response to that might be this responsibility to protect and to provide for. That it's not just mom and dad, it's not just the missionary team that's going to pray for their protection and their provision. That as we are blessed, we take on the responsibility. So we look at chapters 8 and 10 here, but as we do, we need to know a few things before starting these chapters. First, we need to know that these nations that are going to be mentioned all surround Jerusalem, all surround like Israel proper, where Israel's borders are at this point. These places and people were near to Israel, and they impacted Israel's existence. So all these little nations we're going to hear about. Second, these countries occupy territory at the time of the writing here. They occupy territory that had already been given to Israel. God gave that land to Abraham. He gave it to the patriarchs. He reiterated it to Moses before he entered the land. Actually, he didn't enter, but before Joshua did. But even though that land was all given to Israel, they have yet to possess it, not to possess it as they should. So remember those two things. Third, these nations are These are not international superpowers that David is dealing with here. These are not Egypt or Assyria or Babylon or Rome. No, no, they're dealing with small kingdoms that surround the kingdom of Israel. So fourth, though, these events are during a time of relative peace. This is a time when Israel is at peace. Back in chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, we read about when David wanted to build that house for God. And God said, David, I don't want you to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build your house, he says. Not talking about a palace. But he's going to build David into a house that reigns for years and years to come. And he ends that in verse 11. He says, and I will give you rest from your enemies. And that's where David is right now, in the promised rest. But it's not the rest of a hammock. No, it's the rest of battles to be fought, but battles which will be won. He's finally in power, and he sets out to establish the nation's peace and the nation's place in that region. That's what David is doing. So here we see God working out the establishment of the nation, but he is also sovereignly working in David's life, for him to be a man of God. And as God's man, David is working, he is planning, and he's making decisions to secure the kingdom, not for just right now, but for generations to come. David's a leader, and he's a leader who's blessed by God. We need to notice right away, and we'll take a look here, that blessing usually requires that we stand up to God's enemies. Oh, thank you for the blessing, God. But again, a blessing is not a package at Christmas that you open and you enjoy and you thank the giver for and go on enjoying that present. No. That's not what a blessing is. Well, maybe that's part of it. We do open them from God, and we do enjoy them from the hand of God. After this, it came to pass in verse 1 that David attacked the Philistines and he subdued them. It's chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. And verse 2, and he defeated Moab. So the Moabites became David's servants and brought tribute, and David also defeated the small nation of Zobah, and he went to recover his territory. Notice he's all the way out to the Euphrates River at this point. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, and 20,000 foot soldiers. Verse 5, when the Syrians of Damascus came to help Zobah, David killed 22,000 of the Syrians. Then David put garrisons in Syria and in Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought him tribute. And so the Lord preserved David wherever he went. Blessing. Amazing blessing. But there were dead bodies in the process. There was sweat, there was blood. And when Toi, the king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer, then he sent Joram, his son, to King David to greet him and to bless him, because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him. And Joram brought with him articles of silver, articles of gold, and articles of bronze. People bringing things to David as the victorious king. He defeated the Philistines. He defeated Moab. He defeated Zobah. He defeated Syria. He defeated Hamath. That's just the list that's going on here. defeating God's enemies can be difficult work. But he's blessed. Yeah, he is blessed. But his army is still wielding the sword. You go down these list of people that he killed. We see right away in with the Moabites, he forced them to the ground, and he measured off with a line. With two lines, he measured off those to be put to death. And with one full line, those to be kept alive. Wow. You know, it's so much easier to offer a place at a wealthy table than it is to determine who's going to live and who's going to die. But the blessed king had to make that determination. I would have hired somebody to do it, probably. I don't know, maybe David did. Maybe David didn't walk, say, you know, the long rope die, short rope live. I don't know that David actually, it says he did it. It also says later on he killed 20,000. David didn't kill, his armies did. His generals did. But imagine the generals coming to David and said, we just won. How do we kill these people? Or do we kill them? So what's my point? I'm belaboring it. My point is that even with blessing, some really difficult things come. So much easier to share the wealth than to do this kinds of thing. And David dedicated the spoils of wars, of these wars, to God, verse 11. And the king also dedicated these to the Lord, along with the silver and gold that he had dedicated from all the nations which he had subdued. He gives the list of these same nations. See, blessing usually requires that we stand up to God's enemies. And second, blessing usually requires that, or it does here at least, it requires that we fortify God's people. Take a look at verse 13. And David made himself a name. That's God doing that. The blessed one, David, the man after God's own heart. God is establishing him in this region, that any person with enough insight to know that there is a God who rules will know that it is that God who has blessed Abraham. Much more than the gods of the pagans could have ever blessed him or anyone. Made himself a name when he returned from killing 18,000 Syrians in the Valley of Salt. Now this wasn't done with a big bomb. Killing was much more up close and personal then. If there was 18,000 dead people, there was at least that many strikes with a sword, and probably more. He also put garrisons in Edom. And throughout all Edom he put garrisons, groups of soldiers to protect the ground that David had made, that he had conquered. And all the Edomites became David's servants. He's beating God's enemies. He's not only standing up to them, but he's beating them. He's winning. And the Lord preserved David wherever he went. God's blessing. But again, it wasn't the preservation of, good job, David. Take that hammock down there by the creek. No. It was, David, I just blessed you, and because you're blessed, take up your sword again for tomorrow's battle. You're going to win it. He fortifies the people. He protects them. Fortification and strengthening is what we see here. It's this idea of protecting, and these are the two main sections I would say that are in God's leadership manual. That the job of of spiritual leadership among God's people is the job of protecting and strengthening, of fortifying, of building up. And that's the job. And how do we do that? It's the responsibility of many people here, not just the leaders of this assembly, the human leaders of this assembly. No, it's much, much broader than that. Fortifying, protecting, and strengthening. What is your charge on that? Well, for many of us here, it's our children. Building them up, strengthening them, making sure that to the best of our abilities, we're building into these people, to these kids that are in our own home, strengthening them, protecting them. It's part of leadership. Bring that to any of the ministries that you might be involved with. There are people who are under your care that are going to need to be strengthened. Some people don't want to be strengthened. They just don't. They need to be protected, but oftentimes they don't know they need protection. Now, this is for your own good. Well, no, I don't need that. And these people that David had conquered. Oh, he's protecting the home base, all right. He's taking enemies, armed enemies, and he's turning them into servants. But now David's got more people to fortify and protect. And as the nation branches out to acquire the land that was given to them hundreds of years before, as he takes that property, he needs to move in and protect that property. And that becomes then a post not just of protection, but it becomes a post for the next campaign to go out. And had David not established those garrisons, Edom wouldn't have been in the flock very long. And when I look at us here, with the responsibility to protect and to strengthen. Why in the world would God bring more people through the door if we're not protecting and strengthening the ones already inside? Blessing usually requires that we fortify God's people. And we could lay all of that blame, if we wanted to, at the feet of the human oversight of this chapel. But I think it goes a bit further. What are we doing to deliberately protect the people who call Valley Bible Chapel home? Are we looking at the doctrine? Are we engaged with what our people are listening to out there? I'm not trying to be that the boogeyman on every radio channel. No, there's not. But just the view of Scripture that we have, which is a high view of Scripture, are we passing that on to the next generation of people? Some of the traditions that we follow pretty carefully, biblical traditions, are we passing those on, or are they just some silly things from a past generation? Oh, they did it back then. I guess it was cute. We don't do that anymore. Maybe we should. Protecting. Fortifying. Strengthening. That's blessing. Now we look around and we see the blessings of God. My tendency is, I remember years ago, many years ago, I think Mary Beth was at our house, and she and maybe Deb, I don't remember, were babysitting for our kids. At one point, our kids needed babysitting. They still do, some of them. But we got the, you know, we'd get the scoop when we got home. Which one did you try to kill? Which one, you know, tried to murder a sibling? Well, you know, we'd want to find out what happened. And apparently they had their little chores to do, right? And I love this story. And apparently the kids did their chores because they had something special waiting for them. And apparently one of our sons, after finishing his chores, walked into the living room, laid on the couch, and said, what? Lazy time. So much like his mother. But that's what we do with blessings sometimes, don't we? Here it is. Won the battle. Everything's working. Bills are paid. None of the kids are in jail. Lazy time. No. It's time to fortify. It's time to build on the blessing of God. When David took that land, I'm not trying to spiritualize this, but when David took that land, he brought in the troops to fortify the area. And that became an outpost for the next movement. And when we as an assembly are blessed by God and we see people saved, we need to build into them. We need to protect them. We need to fortify them. Oh, you're listening to that on the radio? That's dumb. Turn it off. You are listening to that preacher? When you got 3 hours, I'll tell you why you shouldn't be, but in the meantime, delete that podcast from your phone. You mean you're not listening to these guys? Hey, you need to sign up for these podcasts. Protection, strengthening. And I'll tell you, if we don't do that, we're going to have the stupidest comments you can imagine in a group discussion. And so many of us lack the will to stand up to that because we don't want to hurt this young Christian's feelings who are listening to people that probably don't even know the Lord. And they're out there. Protecting and strengthening. You see, leadership is difficult because it requires that we stand up to God's enemies. And it can be messy when we stand up to God's enemies. Because God's enemies don't typically cower at our presence. But when David laid out the ropes, I don't know if he did it, and at the end of this rope, that guy dies. At the end of that rope, that guy lives. I'll tell you, when he got done with that exercise, when they got done with that exercise, it was a bloody place. Because the enemies of God don't cower at our presence. And the blessing of God comes with expectations. And for David, there were some messy expectations. You know, the victories can sound so entertaining when we tell about them. They really can. I don't know about you, but nothing I love better than a good missionary story. Johnny's going up this week to preach up in Rochester at a missionary conference, and Friday night, they're having a youth night. I said, dude, you got to, you know, make up some stories, man. You know, were you ever attacked by a snake? No? Well, can you pretend what it would have been like? You see, you love these stories, right? And those stories, even the ones that are told in truth, they sound really good as we tell them. But usually, you know, wrestling with that snake was preceded by maybe 3 days of getting into the jungle with mosquitoes all around you. It's messy Victories are messy. Blessing requires that we stand up to God's enemies. Blessing usually requires also that we fortify God's people. And finally, blessings seldom take away our responsibility to think decisively. When I finish with a task, when I'm done with something that I have to do, especially if it was a relatively big task, I want lazy time. I really do. And for me, that lazy time isn't so much the couch and the television, although that can be really nice. For me, lazy time is not having to think about things. It's done. It's off my plate. I love that feeling. But we get up to chapter 10. David sends some of his men on a little mission to bring his regards to a king who has died. He sends a handful of men, a little delegation, wants them to go up north and bring his condolences to the new king, the king's son. He didn't know the new king, but his dad was a friend of David's from back when David was fleeing from Saul. This guy helped David out. So in chapter 10, he sends this delegation of guys up there, and some of the young counselors to the new king said, don't you dare trust David. He's sending spies in. Here they come. He said, well, David was my dad's friend. Well, your dad's dead. And look what David's been doing. Go back two chapters, they say to him. Look what David's been doing. And so this king, you read the story, it's a great account. He took the guys and he cut off half their beards. Not half the people, all their beard. Half of each person's beard. So I was going to do that today as an object lesson. That would have been pretty cool. Then the other thing, they cut off their robes, kind of gave them mini skirts to go home in. It was like a public shaming. I was going to do that too, but I didn't. These guys were humiliated. They walked out of that town in humiliation. Matter of fact, David heard about it and he said, don't even come back. Go over to Jericho, stay there for a while till your beards grow back. We can get you some new clothes. David says, wow, I'm blessed by God. But that doesn't take away my responsibility to deal with this act of war. It wasn't just a humiliation of this delegation. It was a humiliation of David. It was a humiliation of the nation of Israel. It was a humiliation, as far as David was concerned, of God himself. And so he took decisive action. The end of the matter, there was a significant defeat of Ammon and Syria. He was decisive. And David, as we've already learned about him, was lethal. He didn't lose battles. And he increased the boundaries of Israel. And for our purposes today, he was blessed by God. Difficult tasks, messy processes, and decisive thinking. Do you want to be a person of God, a man of God, woman of God? Then understand the expectations of blessing. Because if we see them as gifts to put on a shelf and enjoy, they're going to stop coming. So when you're blessed of God, it's for each one of us here, whether we're in positions of leadership or not, we're all in some kind of leadership, I'm sure. A couple things. Number one, don't run from difficulty. I don't know how you work. If difficulty is coming down the street toward me, I'm out. I'm looking for a place to turn. Because I don't like difficulty. You want to be blessed. Don't run from difficulty. Stick at ministry, even or especially when it's difficult. We tend to see difficulty because, you see, we are under the impression God's concern is our comfort. We tend to see difficulty as an indication that God's not in something. Oh, God's not in that. It looked really hard. No. Second, don't avoid discomfort. A lot of ministry, a lot of obedience to Christ is really uncomfortable. I'll tell you the ones that are really uncomfortable, and we're kind of on the other end of that now, but we weren't. It's just decisions with your kids and what you allow them to do or don't allow them to do. It's really uncomfortable when you say, nope, you can't go there. What makes it even more fun is when they say, but all my chapel friends are going there. Yeah, well, their parents are idiots. No, we never said that. No. It's really uncomfortable. It's really, really uncomfortable when you have to tell someone they got to stop doing whatever it is they're doing. A Christian friend. That's really uncomfortable. I don't like doing it. You don't like doing it. Giving money can money away to the Lord's work, that can be a bit uncomfortable too, can't it? Well, there's a long list there. I won't go through them all. But don't avoid discomfort. And finally, take decisive action when it's needed. Decisive action. This is one that kills me. I'm under the impression that if I talk about something, I've done it. But I haven't. Because there's no decisive action that comes from a lot. Oh, I have great plans, man. I've got to tell you, I'll show you trends. I will show you solutions. And they're really good. Sometimes they even surprise me at how good they are. But so many times I don't follow through and do it. Because I'd rather talk about it than do it. And sometimes I even think talking about it is doing it. It's not. David could have talked about the people of Ammon and Syria forever. And how, you know, here's how I would attack them for humiliating my delegation. He could have talked about that for months and never done anything. He was a man of God. So what are we saying here? We want God's blessing. If you're here and you know Christ as your Savior, you want God's blessing. But the point of today's message from David is a person of God understands that there are expectations that come with blessing. Father, please don't let us run away from things. Help those of us here who belong to you to try to ignore the difficulty and the discomfort. Help us, we pray that, Lord. Of course, we would ask that we don't get in those situations, but we know we will. So we just pray for help and for strength. Help us to strengthen others. Help us to fortify, protect others. Father, for any here who have never trusted in your Son, these are important issues. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just do a work in their heart, that they would see their need of having a Savior, the need of having someone to bear their sins, that they would trust in your Son as Savior. So thank you for the chance just to be together. Pray for John and April as they prepare to go back. Ask that you would strengthen them, that you would protect them. In Jesus' name.